scripture.
I'm picking on Amber and Christy and Scott today. And Amy. Good. You get to stand here because you're my main victim. All right? You tell him what he's not supposed to do, right? Don't scratch him.
Yeah.
All right? Well, you got to tell the secret so you're not going to get it. Go step over a little farther, spread apart there. One day, oh, children, we're by the way, the children can come down. I goofed almost there. Come on down. Drag somebody else with you. I don't care. Good. Good, good, good. Ah, there we go. Grandpa's bringing one more. Okay. This is a little story about Christy. One day, she had an itch. Did you guys ever have an itch? And what do you usually do with an itch? If it itches you, scratch it. Well, one day, she had an itch right there in the middle of, oh, and it itched. It itched. She tried to reach it, And she couldn't reach it. Everything she did didn't work. So she ran over to her sister and said, "Will you scratch my back?" And her sister scratched her arm. But wouldn't scratch her back. She got really frustrated, so she ran over to her brother. And she said, "Scratch my back." And he said, look at that, scratched her foot. Just like brothers sometimes do. Finally, she ran over to one of her friends, and she cried out,
"Scratch my back, please."
Tell her where. Oh, and she was so happy. She was itching, and she got the itch scratched. Got that part so far? That's the first part. Now, you stay here. Okay. More secrets. They didn't quite get here in time for me. Well, one day, Christy was at a party. And she met a really, what she thought was a nice guy. And so she wanted to go, "Oh, this is a really nice guy. I think I want to get to know him better." So she ran over to her sister and asked if this guy was any good.
"Is this guy any good?" "No, he's horrible. He's got no good thing going for him. You can't like him."
Oh, she didn't like that answer, so she ran to her brother. That was unscripted. Don't look. And that she didn't like either. But he was a soccer player. So she ran over to her friend again.
"Is this guy any good?"
"Dude, you should just like him. Because, like, even if your brothers and sisters don't like him, like, you should just like him. Because he's pretty cool."
Oh, she put her arm around her and said, "Let's be good, good friends." Now, why did she make her good friend? What was it that her friend did that she wanted to hear? That it was okay to do what? Yes. It was okay to like this guy. Okay? Now, you guys get to sit down a moment. I'm going to give you a treat, so that's why you get to sit. Don't run back to your seat yet. I'm going to talk about itching today. Itching and scratching. And a few places. All right. We've all itched and we've all scratched. And when it feels good, oh, thank you, especially if it lands right in the middle of your back. Have you ever found yourself rubbing against something because you couldn't reach an itch or something? That's you. Maybe you do when you get a cast on your leg. And my mom used to have to take a coat hanger. So my foot itches. And she'd have to go way down inside her cast just to itch her foot. Well, the author of this particular book, Paul, he's talking about people having itching ears. Now, ears can itch one way, but sometimes they itch because they only want to hear what they want to hear. So, for instance, if you go, Mommy, can I go outside? And she says, no, go finish cleaning your room. Sometimes kids are nasty enough, they run to Dad and they go, Daddy, can I go outside? And Daddy doesn't know whether your room was cleaned or not cleaned. And he says, oh, sure, go ahead. And so who do you want to listen to then? You go, I want to go outside. See? Big people do that too. And when they do, it's even more serious than when a kid does it. If my kids ever did that to me after their mother told them no, they were very unhappy. I never let them do that. I said, when your mother says no, it's no. So anyway, sometimes when we don't like the answer, we run around till we find somebody that gives us a different answer. That's what we're talking about in the sermon today. And so you should be able to understand it, okay? Now, I like giving this out. Don't drop any on the floor, okay? Because then I have to go back and pick it all up. All right, here we go. There you go. I'm sorry, that's all I got. Dig in. You're welcome. One for you, one for Eric. All right. So there's this Mary Tyler Moore commercial, and I can't remember her boss's name. And he goes, Mary, I think you're ticklish. You seen this one? I'm sorry. It's like the only one I could think of this morning. And she goes, I'm not ticklish. And so he walks up to her, and she's standing there like this or something. He goes, she just doesn't move, doesn't laugh, doesn't giggle. She goes, nothing happens, okay? And I thought, interesting, you can have this kind of both and where somebody needs to tickle, scratch, or whatever, the itch, or you can have an attitude where it's not going to work on me. I'm operating in a different sense of presence, a different sense of who I am and a personhood and everything else like that. Well, Paul, in this effort to talk to Timothy, addresses something extremely serious. And the seriousness is given, and he warns Timothy that people are kind of unpredictable in the way they work. And they have this characteristic that is triggered by their flesh, where they like getting their itches scratched. Now, you and I know that the itch he's talking about is not simply a part in the middle of your back that isn't reachable. The itch he's talking about is, in many cases, something stirred up by the flesh, something stirred up by your frustration, something stirred up in your anger, disappointment, or whatever it is, and you want to get that thing scratched. And in order to get it scratched, you're going to have to do something that is against what God has revealed, against God's will for your life, against God's testimony for your life. And so, in order for you to feel more and more comfortable, you begin to accumulate people around you. And I go, this is an example where I see it most often, most clearly, is frequently if a situation is arising where, my husband's no good. Oh, yeah, we know. And pretty soon you're talking to two women that all agree your husband's no good. Then you find a third one, and then they finally look at you one day and say, well, why are you even with that man? And pretty soon you're hanging around with women as a wife, and you're looking for friends and acquaintances that say, yeah, you might as well, you're not happy. You should be happy. God wants you happy. I never read that, by the way, in any Bible anywhere. But God wants you happy, and if this isn't making you happy, then you better leave him. But you have this one friend who just keeps giving you the word and saying, no, this is the counsel of God. This is the Spirit of the Lord. Stop what you're doing. And pretty soon that friend gets shoved out of your life, and you find yourself accumulating individuals that speak and sound and behave just like you do. And immediately what you begin to discover is exactly what Paul was trying to warn Timothy about, Be careful of people. This is the way they behave. This is the way they sometimes act. They will accumulate people around them that will scratch their itch, that will do the thing they want to have done in their life. So in Christy's case, what I was using the example, her brother and her sister give her counsel. No, Christy, this is not really a good guy in your life. This is not what you need. Well, she didn't want to hear that. And she was getting that kind of counsel from the family, and they knew this particular kid, and they identified the characteristics. They told her what was wrong, but they, you know, Christy didn't want to hear it. So she found or discovered that if you go over and you find a friend or an acquaintance that you really begin talking to, and that acquaintance begins to stroke or scratch the itch that you have, go ahead and do what you want to do, date who you want to date, behave like you want to behave, you know, morally, immoral, whatever you want, and they begin to scratch that itch, you begin to find yourself caught in the trap of, I'm making this one my closer friend. You now have become my confidant. You have become the one I will go to. I won't go to them because they keep telling me something I don't want to hear, but you keep telling me the very thing that the itch inside of me wants, and so I will come and talk to you. Well, almost every time you have an itch like that, it's probably not going to end up the way you think. Some aren't quite so serious. It might be you're taking a cookie out of the cookie jar. Others are who you date and who you marry. And you don't want to hear it, so you stop asking mom and dad their opinion. And you start talking to your friends and say, well, what do you think of her? What do you think of him? And finally, you accumulate a friend, a brother, an acquaintance, and you begin to say, see, mom and dad are stupid. Mom and dad don't understand. They can't see what I see. I have this itch that I need it scratched, and these friends are going to allow me to scratch it, and they're not going to do anything to cause me to hesitate from moving forward where I want to go. And so I want you to understand these points as we go through them now. What I've shared with you, Paul goes, be strong. Stand strong in the concept there, in the grace. He charges them. This is really a powerful, you listen to me. You wake up right now. There's an intensity. I like doing that for a moment. And some of the people woke back up going, is he talking to me? Yes, I was. I always see your eyes closed. I want you to know that. I do. I'll mark it down the sheet over here. 2 minutes, 4 minutes, and I'll just write your name down. At the end of the class period, you got to stay after and listen to the sermon all over again. This is intense. Paul is charging him. I want you to feel that because it's critically important. And he carries it on this way. In the presence of God. So he goes, chapter 4. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And the phrase here is herald, proclaim the word. And then it says, stand on that word, whether it's season means easy. You know, you really shouldn't do that. Oh, I know. Thank you for telling me. That's easy. Next person. You know, you really shouldn't do that. Oh, shut up. You're so judgmental. You asked me what I thought of that guy, and I told you the truth. He's not any good for you. Oh, just leave me alone. In season, when she's willing to listen, out of season, when she doesn't want to listen, you still stand in the same place, right? And it's particularly hard when you're talking to your own children, you're talking to somebody you care about, you love, someone close in your family, and you're telling them something. It's sometimes so easy, and he says, where are you going to stand? Well, I'm going to stand on the word. He says, Timothy, you better stand on that word, and you better preach, proclaim, herald it out. Listen, pay attention. She or he is no good for you, or however you want to carry that out in terms of the gospel, in terms of the message, in terms of that particular point. And so he carries that to Timothy in season or out of season. Then he comes out with this neat little list and he starts identifying them. He says, reprove. That means convict with the ability to refute them. Well, he's a nice... Be still. You know he's not. He's not a Christian. Why are you even considering him? Doesn't Scripture teach you? You don't date unbelievers. You know better than that. Or are you going to take God on and say you're smarter than God? Right? That's refute. Next one. The phrase in the translation is, correct. And correct here, in Greek, it actually means to fix value on. If that's a valuable opinion, you tell them it's valuable. You see, because living on the word doesn't mean you're just critical. That was really good for you to share that. Wow, you really told them the truth. I see your courage. I'm glad you do what God says, even when it hurts sometimes. And I saw you respect your husband and love your wife and respond to your children the way you had to, even though they didn't deserve that. Praise God for you. You see, the correction doesn't just mean I'm going to correct you in this negative kind of attitude. It means I am going to amplify the correction. I'm going to compliment and produce value on that particular thing. Then the next word that you have down there is encourage. It's the concept of the paraclete. Come near. Draw that person near. Encourage people when they're doing righteous decisions, when they're hanging tough. Hey, it's so cool you listened to your brother's counsel that day. I'm glad you obeyed your mom and your dad. Don't quit. Hang in there. They're giving you a good word. You do what you're supposed to do. And sometimes you don't always understand what they see in that guy or don't see in that guy or that girl. But you step up into it because God's blessed you through them and will continue to bless you through them. And that word of encouragement has got to come out of your mouth to somebody else who may need that word of encouragement to continue on too. And then it says in all patience, patience, remember, I've always taught you, means suffering a long time without whining about it. People aren't easy to live with, work with, love, care about. Most of the time, they can be somewhat difficult. They may even cause you to suffer. All right? Sometimes in minor degrees, like, you're such a slob, can't you pick up after yourself? Oh, I got to wear it again tomorrow. Why can't I just leave it lay on the floor? You know? Sometimes with things more serious. But long-suffering is that patience. So here's Paul telling Timothy how he has to live, move, function in the role that he's playing, dealing with brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the ministry that he has, and then he calls them into this verse, which is really the one I want to focus on with you, for the time will come, all right, in which it says, men will not, and notice the phrase there, put up with. Men will not put up with. What it means, they won't hold sound doctrine close to them. What do you think, Amber? You like that guy? No. Don't you see what's wrong with him, or whatever she said? Well, she's not going to reach out and hold her sister close to her. Why? Because her sister's telling her a truth that she doesn't want to hear. So she pushes away, and she walks over to a brother, and he points out, can anything good come out of soccer players? Then she finds the friend, walks into the circumstance, oh, my brother, my sister, my family, whatever it is, and this friend strokes or coaxes or nods, yeah, yeah, do whatever you want, man. What do your parents know? They're just old. What does your brother and sister know? They're just judgmental. Phew. That's what it means. The time is coming when they will not hold close to them a faithful doctrine, an appropriate teaching. Instead, they will push away from that, and then it goes on to say there, but according to their own itch, according to their own wants, according to their own, I gotta have this in my life. All right? According to this concept that they have developed probably out of their flesh in most cases, it says instead, it says the time will come when men will put up with sound doctrine instead to suit their own desires. This is what I want. Well, what do you want? I like that guy. I want to date him. I want to do what I want to do. I want to divorce my husband. I want to leave this relationship. I want to treat people this way. I want to get angry at this person. I don't want to forgive them. Oh. Well, then you better talk to her, because if you talk to them, they're going to tell you the truth, and that's not the truth you want to hear, so you better talk to your friend. And that's what they'll do. And he says, I'm warning you, Timothy, they will do this. They're going to get so itchy, they're going to run around until they find somebody to scratch it. And when they find somebody to scratch it, they will listen to stupid advice, bad counsel, irrelevance, irreligiosity, sin, open and confrontation to God's will and obedience to parents or anything else. But they will do it because they want it that bad. And so he puts on and he says, as he finishes off, instead to suit their own desires, they will gather around them in great number. It actually means pile up. They'll pile up. Hey, I got three friends that all say you're crazy. What do you guys know? My other friends all think that's cool that I'm dating a 23-year-old guy and I'm only 16. Right? Or whatever the situation would be. And you see what's going on is this characteristic of people. Now, we can do this whether we're using the example that I picked out and set up for Christy to carry out an example for you, or if it's something you want to do theologically, or something you want to do rather than letting the Word of God stand, rather than letting it attack, touch, move by the working of the Spirit, your heart, you start to go, I got to find another place, another church that says, God really didn't mean that Christians should not marry non-Christians. That was just an opinion, a tradition, a custom back then. Obviously, as long as you love them, you can do whatever you want to do. And so you push away from this group of Christians, these individuals that represent the intensity, the purity, the reverence of God's Word, and you find individuals that tickle. Well, they do it so much easier. They make me feel better about the decisions that I want to make, the way I want to live, and how I want to function. They don't put any pressure on me. They don't hold me accountable. This is the kind of group and situation I want to be in. And so here's Timothy being told by Paul, obviously, watch out. And then he finishes it off with verse 4. They will turn their ears away from the truth. All right? They are going to turn away. You're going to be telling them the truth. Now here's the hard part, because you got to go back. Where are you going to stand? Sometimes when you tell your son or your daughter the truth, they're going to walk away. If you don't understand verse 1 and 2, you're never going to get to understanding 3 and 4. Because there's two sides of this. One is, don't you be stupid enough not to listen to godly counsel and advice based on God's Word. For goodness sake, don't be that stupid. But second, be prepared, like he was preparing Timothy, that when your best friend, your acquaintance, somebody you love, looks at you and says, I don't like what you're saying to me, and you realize it's going to cost you the friendship, it's going to cost you whatever it is, you still stand with God, His Word, at a level of faithfulness, at a level of intensity and honesty that you understand you have to stand at. That's God's call upon your heart. I'll stand, that kind of song that we just got done singing. It says, they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths, to tales, to stories, to, it doesn't matter if it's true, my girlfriend said it. Does it matter if it's true, all the other 15-year-olds or 17-year-olds around me, or 35-year-olds, or all the other divorced women said it was okay? Right? We've all been there. Now, this is not rise up and point at somebody sitting next to you. This is search your own heart, because there's areas of your life where Satan is beating you down like this, and where you really don't always want to be confronted. And you walk away from the presence of God and the faithfulness of God's Word, and you find and accumulate around your life people who will whisper into your ear what you want to hear. So this is not past tense. You don't just look back or pick an example of a 16-year-old girl, or understand that this is somebody else. This is how you live and behave, trying to figure out and justify many times your own sin or my own sin or the rationalization. Well, at least I want to hang on with these people. They drink as much as I do. They behave and swear as often as I do. They treat their children pretty much the way I treat mine, or whatever your particular area is. And you begin to go, I'm not asking what God's word says anymore. I just want to go and live the way I want to live and justify it by who I hang with. So finally finishes it off. They will turn aside to myths, fairy tales, stories, things that aren't based on truth. But you, all right, says in this translation, keep your head. It means don't be drunk. Don't get a buzz on. Literally means don't imbibe in wine. So you go, hey, what matters? Everybody's cool, man. Everything's cool. I really don't. Don't do that. You be sober. You keep your head. You hold on to the truth, all right? And it says, in all situations, and this is the part you don't want to hear, neither do I, endure means put up with, go through the loss of a friend, the child turning his back on you, a tough situation. Endure means you go through it for the sake of that son, that daughter, for the truth, for your relationship with God. You see, all of our decisions have to always be back in the Word and grow out of there. Even in our ministry to people, going on to the point, do the work of an evangelist, that proclaiming of the gospel, and discharge the duties, the ministry that you're called upon. It actually means to make full your ministry. You know what the easy ministry is? Jesus loves you. You're such a perfect father, John. Jesus loves you. Hard ministry, John, I heard the way you... I'm making this up, by the way. You can hit me later if you want. I heard the way you talked to Candace the other day. I'm going to talk to you about it. Totally inappropriate. That's hard message. Both of it is true, though. Both of it is part of the message a man needs to hear from a person who knows Jesus or loves Jesus. And he can eventually say, I'm really glad you told me, but you really hurt my feelings. You didn't have to tell me that in front of the whole church. So I may have to hear a rebuke back. But the point is, we have to have that kind of determination, that kind of courage. And Timothy is saying, Timothy, you got to stand here on God, in His Word, full of the Holy Spirit. This is where you got to be. And when you have to walk up to someone and give them an easy word, you give it to them. And when you got to walk up to that same person and give them a hard word, you give them the hard word. You sprinkle as much seasoning on it as you can. But you don't back down because you understand the call that I've given to you. And I'm warning you, the time will come when your children will have tickling ears. Is it okay for me to date and marry this guy? Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. He's really cool. What do your mom and dad say? They don't like him at all. Well, you don't want to listen to them. What do they know? When your marriage gets tough, you want to get tickled by some guy or some girl. Yeah, no kidding. You know, ball and chain calling you home again, eh? Yeah, I know what she's like. Yeah, I don't know how you put up with her. You know? Yeah, I know. Let's accumulate that. Here's God giving us a message, where to stand, where to draw our self-esteem, where to draw our value from. When we realize other people aren't necessarily going to respond because they got the itching ears that you've had and I've had, and they're getting caught in that itching ear syndrome, then we know, I know what that's like to be there. I have been on both sides of this conversation, haven't you? Hey, you want to go to the party? Go to the party. I'm not going to listen to your mom. Just tell her you're coming over to my house. Done that one? Hey, what do you think of this girl I'm dating? She's really hot. Oh, well, heck, see what you can get. Haven't you been there in your own little version? Aren't you still there sometimes if you're not careful? How easy it is to crawl back into that same thing. And here's God saying, don't do this. Don't yourself allow yourself to get caught in the itching ear thing. And for goodness sake, even if it means she's going to walk away from you and treat you badly because she's going to follow the itching ears, you stand where you're supposed to stand. God is looking for faithful people. God is looking for people who understand why they do what they do and where they stand and why they stand there and have the courage to do that with great integrity. Pray with me if you would. Lord, I have been every one of the people in my children's sermon. I've told people the truth and lost friendships. I've told people the truth and compromised it. I made it mushy. I've even told them to do wrong things. And I've certainly been the person asking, do you think it's okay if I do this? Can I watch this? Can I live like this? And found those friends and acquaintances that complimented me or made me feel it was okay. With my brothers and sisters, Lord, today we rebuke those behaviors, those attitudes in our lives and our hearts. We pray that wherever there's a stubbornness and an unwillingness to hear the truth of your words spoken through people who love you, love us, wherever there's a possibility even, Lord, that we're being stubborn and not willing to hear, open ears today in your name, Jesus, under your authority by the power of your Holy Spirit, because otherwise we will, with itching ears, close ourselves off, turn away from truth, integrity, purity, and life. Lord, so much of what goes bad in our lives and circumstances we bring to ourselves, we cause to come in our direction, and we're so quick to compromise. Uproot that from our hearts. Help us to understand the gentle, loving, powerful call that you gave here through Timothy into each one of our ministries, wherever it is, with wife or family, children, friends, acquaintances, business, whatever it is. Help us, Lord, to be so full of your presence, so filled with confidence in you, that we stand where we need to stand. We speak the truth with such tenderness and love that the people are overwhelmed when they think it through. And then, Lord, help us not to be people with itching ears. Come and bless that and accomplish that purpose in our lives, we pray, Lord. And it's in your name. Amen. As the offering is received, we pray God's blessing in the area of finances of your life. We ask that you would continue to be submitting even those to the will of God. And if you're a guest or a visitor, please do not feel like you have to put anything in. We appreciate you being our guest today. And if you need some, take it out. It doesn't belong to us anyway.
Gives up. and never gives up.